Of course, most of you know tomorrow is Labor Day, a day that we honor the workers. And there will be parades and there will be speeches. And I thought it odd as I was thinking about it, we celebrate Labor Day by not laboring. We get the day off. And I hope even though you that are retired will take the day off tomorrow and relax a little bit. And Labor Day is an every kind of person holiday. Because every single person, and I'll say the vast majority, and what I mean by that, almost every single person has been or is or will be a worker. And the vast majority of the people in this room have had more than one job. And we would be surprised if we had the time this morning, we might do a little bit of it, but if we went around and had each person just take a couple minutes and talk about the different jobs that they'd have, I think we'd all be surprised at the variety of work experience that we have in this room this morning. You know, work is a, because the work is so much a part of our life, work is a subject that the Bible talks about often. You've heard me say before that the Bible is not only a book that tells us how to get ready for eternity, the Bible is a very practical book in that it tells us how to live in this world that we're in right now. And so the Bible has to say a lot about work. And what I want to do this morning is use some of those verses and tell you some things that God tells us about work. And I have seven statements that I want to make, and I you don't need to worry. I know what time it is, and I promise not to keep you too much longer than I usually do. But I have seven statements so you can sort of track my progress as I make my way through these seven statements and know when I'm about to wind down and land. And if it gets to time where I need to land, I'll just land. But let me make these seven statements, all biblical-based statements about work. Number one, God made man to work in Genesis chapter 1. And by the way, just so you know where I stand, I'm going to tell you, I believe Genesis chapter 1 is a literal history of a seven-day period, 24 hours a day, that God made the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them. I believe that. I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe that in a God-controlled evolution. I believe it happened just like it said in the Bible. And in the Bible, again, in Genesis chapter 1, it talks about God making the heavens and the earth and everything in them. And then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, it says this, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." And then a little bit further down in that chapter, chapter 2, verse 15, the Bible says this, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." A lot of people read the first couple chapters of Genesis and say, boy, I wish I could have been in the Garden of Eden. It was like a never-ending vacation. I mean, the weather was perfect and the food was delicious. There wasn't any ants or mosquitoes. Well, I hate to bust your bubble this morning, but in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve worked. They were the gardeners. They took care and dressed the garden. And so God made them and God made each of us, and he put in each of us a desire and a need to work. And I don't believe that desire or need ever goes away. I know Brother Leonard was talking about in Sunday school this morning, he was looking forward to retirement and just doing a little bit. But I tell you what, I've never, ever met a person that's retired that has said, everyone I've met has says this, I just don't know when I had time to work. I am so busy in my retirement, I just don't know how I had time to go to work. And the fact that, and I think that comes from the need that God put in every single one of us to work. And that's why you that are retired are probably some of the busiest people in this room. And that's why vacations don't last forever. I mean, have you ever gone on a vacation and just said, boy, I wish I could just stay here forever? I haven't, and most of you haven't either, because why? We want to get back to work. And so God has put in every single one of us and has made us to work. Number two, God's plan is for us to work 6 days. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 21, 6 days thou shalt work, but on the seventh day thou shalt rest In earing time and in harvest time, thou shalt rest. And God set the example for us in this. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made." Now, again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but I'll just tell you, God is not for us working 7 days a week. I know some of you have jobs where you just absolutely can't get off on Sunday. I know that. But I want to tell you, you need a day of rest. You need a day. And God knew it, and God has told us in this book. He's given us a desire to work. He said, "Hey, I made you and I equipped you to work 6 days a week, but you need a day of rest. You need that Sabbath day where you, and regardless of the time of year it is, in earing time or in harvest time, doesn't matter what's going on, you need that day of rest." And I want to encourage every single person here, and this is a practical kind of message this morning. I don't care if you're retired or you're still working, don't go at it 7 days a week. Your bodies were not designed to do that. They were designed to work 6 days a week, but take the seventh day off and be in the place that God wants you to be, in this place right here. Number three, when we work, we need to have our mind on our work. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says this, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Of course, the story in the book of Nehemiah is about rebuilding the walls at Jerusalem. And that verse is saying that the people not only labored with their hands, they not only labored with their bodies, but they had their mind on their work. And what God is saying is that when we work, let's just not use our hands, let's not just use our feet, let's just not use our bodies, but let's have our mind into our work as well. Let's be fully engaged in what we're doing. Whether you're in secular work or where you're working for God, don't be doing one thing with your body and doing something else with your mind. Have your mind fully engaged in what you're doing. Don't be thinking about, well, I'm working now, and I know sometimes I do it, and I have to guard against myself. I can be doing something, and I become like a little robot. I do the same usually when I'm signing time cards. I can just sign time cards. I sign time cards for about an hour. And I can just sign those. And if I'm not careful, I'm not thinking about what I'm doing. And if we're not careful, we'll work with our bodies, but not with our mind. Number four, when we work, God is with us. In Haggai chapter 2, verse 4, "And be strong, all ye people of the Lord, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." If I ask you right now, it's Sunday morning, we're in church. If I ask you right now as an individual, is God with you? Is he here with you today? Most every single person would say, yes, he's here. He's with me. Now, I'm going to fast forward to Tuesday when some of us go back to work, when you that are retired go back to the normal routine of things where you take care of the garden or work around the house or do, you know, the other jobs that you do. And I come to you on Tuesday morning when you're back on the line or at your machine or sitting at your desk or hoeing the garden or doing the dishes, whatever you're doing, and ask you the question as you work on Tuesday, is God with you? Most of us would say, well, just a minute, let me think about that. You ask me on Sunday, I know for sure he's with me. I'm back at work on Tuesday. Is he with me? I want to tell you what the answer to that question is. Yes, he is with you. When you go to work on Tuesday, if you're going to work tomorrow, you are working in the presence of God. He is with you. He's with you. Number five, because God is there when we work, we need to do it heartily with our might. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10, the Bible says, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might." In Colossians 3:23, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." You see, if God made us to work, if he designed us to work, and he's given us work to do, and he's there with us when we work, we need to work as if we're working for Him. We need to do it heartily. We need to do it with our might. We need to give it our best. We need to give it our all. I know man may employ us and man may sign the check, but when we're working, we are not working for man. We are working for God. And that's why that verse says, when you work, do it heartily as to the Lord. As to the Lord. Number six. I'm getting to the heart of my message. I want you to pay attention to the next 2 points. Number six, work is God's way of meeting our needs. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, here's what the Bible says. And that ye study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may work honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. You see, God not only gave us a desire to work, and God not only gave us the strength to work, but He uses our work to meet our needs. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 12, the Bible says this, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat." Adam's not here, so I can say this. I told him all the time when he was a kid. I said, you need to memorize that verse. If you don't work, you don't eat. You can tell he's eating, so he's a pretty good worker. Don't tell him I said that. Let me read the rest of those verses. "For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now then, that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Now I want to tell you something. I know that if God wanted to, He could still send manna from heaven. I know if God wanted to, yeah, He could have somebody talk to a rock and or strike a rock and water would come out of that rock. I know that if God wanted to, He could still have somebody break a few loaves of bread and break fish and feed thousands. I know that God hasn't changed. I know that He can still work miracles, and He does. He does today. We have a miracle-working God. But God's everyday plan, the ordinary day plan, the plan that God uses most of all, is that we work, and the fruits of that work is the way that He meets our needs. And I'm glad we got a God like that. I'm glad we got a God that can still work miracles, but I'm glad we got a God that uses our work to meet our needs. Number seven, and this point starts with the word however. This point starts with the word but. I want you to remember everything I've said up to this point. God has made us to work, and He's designed us to work 6 days, and He's with us when we work. And because He's with us, we ought to work heartily as to the Lord. And God uses that work to meet our needs. However, but the greatest need that we have cannot be met by working. I want you to listen. The greatest need that we have, even though that we were designed to work, and even though God wants us to work, and even though God's with us when we work, the greatest need that we have cannot be met, cannot be satisfied by our work. You see, the greatest need that we have is to be right with our God. And the Bible says that sin has separated us from us, God, from our God. The Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You see, you can compare yourself to me, or you can compare yourself to some other man, and you can find somebody who's a little bit worse than you that can cause you to say, well, I'm not so bad. I'm better than that guy. My life is a whole lot better than that guy. But what God is saying is, in that verse, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, what He's saying is, don't compare yourself to somebody else. You can always find somebody that's worse than you are, more wicked than you are, more evil than you are. And you can go to God and say, hey, I'm not the worst guy in the world that lives. But God says, no, 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 no. I don't want you to compare yourself to somebody else. I want you to compare yourself to my standard. I want you to compare yourself to my glory. And that standard and that glory was embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ. I got to visit with my in-laws for Friday night and Saturday, and we were up late, my father-in-law and I, and he was, I think he's in his last days. His cancer's gone, but we spent 2 or 3 days, and he was telling me about his boyhood and stories that I heard a lot before, and he said, you know, I must be about to die because I'm remembering all the things. But he made this statement that really touched my heart. He said, you know, the closer I get to Jesus, the more of a sinner I see myself. And you know, that's the way it works. The closer that we get to the glory and to the standard of God, the more we see how wicked we are. The more we see how much we need Him. You see, sin separates us from God. And because we were made the way we were made, because God has put that desire in every single one of us to work, here's what we think. We think, well, I can work my way back to God. God's good. And if I work, and if my work is good, I can get right with that good God. And so we work. And we do good things. And we give to different organizations. And we join churches. And we get baptized. We take the Lord's Supper. And we just labor and work. And we go to God. And we say, look at everything I've done. Look at the kind of person I am. Look at who I give to. Look at how I live my life. There's wicked people, more wicked people than I am, all over the world. God, look at how good I am. And you know what God says to us? He says, all your goodness, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. As filthy rags. And so we have to come to God, and we have to say, well, God, if it's not works, I mean, every other part of my life I can work. I can make things better. I can work at being a husband and be a better husband. I can work at being a wife and being a better wife. I can work at being a father and, well, I can't, but you ladies can. You know what I'm talking about. I can work at being a father and I can be a better father. I can work harder at my job and be a better employee. I can work and make things better. But God, when it comes to getting right with you, you're telling me I can't work. What do I need to do? And Jesus says, let me tell you, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, we're burdened with our sins. That verse, when it says heavy laden, it's talking about the sins that we carry. And I tell you what, if we could see ourselves as God sees us, we would see sin after sin after sin piled on us. And Jesus said, you can't get rid of those by working. I know many of you are trying. You labor, and you labor, and you labor. But it doesn't work in this area. That's not what I want you to do. What I want you to do is just come. Come. I've already done everything that needs to be done. That's what we pictured in the Lord's Supper this morning. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took all of my sin and he took all of your sin, and God placed it on his only begotten Son. And when Jesus died on the cross, look, he was perfect. Tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. And yet when he went to the cross, God the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. And he died on that cross, and he paid for every one of my sins, and he paid for every one of your sins. And when he hung on that cross and he says, it's finished, it's finished, what he was saying is, I've done everything that the Father requires to take care of every sin. So why don't you quit working and just come? We read those verses a moment ago, verses that many of us can quote, verses that we've read many, many times from Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This morning, you're all workers. I know that because I know how God made you. He made us to work. And it's only logical for us to think, well, I can fix every other area of my life if I just buckle down and work. I can make every other area of my life better if I just work. I want to tell you this morning, that's not the way it is when it comes to getting right with God. You can't work your way back to Him. You just got to come. You just got to come. Just a moment, we're going to sing one more song. We're going to sing that song, Just As I Am. And I know we sing it a lot, but I want you to pay attention to the words this morning, especially when we sing the first verse. Just as I am, without one plea. I don't have anything to plea on my behalf. I cannot plea my goodness. I cannot plea my reputation. I cannot plea my status in life. I have no plea. Just as I am, without one plea, here's what I'm going to plead. But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. You see, when we go to God, you want to know what to plea? Not any of our works. Here's what we plea. God, I'm coming because Jesus shed his blood for me. And God, I'm coming because you asked me to come. Boy, we got a good God, don't we? He said, when you come, plead the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and plead the fact that God asked you to come. And the last line of that first verse is, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. That's all you got to do this morning is come. You don't got to work, just come. You don't got to work, just trust. You don't got to work. You come to the one who's done everything that already needs to be done. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for work. Thank you for making us that way. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to do it. But Father, I pray every person here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior would understand in a very crystal clear way this morning they can't come to you by their works. They've got to come through Jesus Christ. And so I pray for every single person that's never made the decision to receive Jesus. I pray right now they'll see themselves as a sinner. They'll see Jesus on the cross dying for their sins. And this morning, Father, they'll make the decision to trust Jesus and nothing else to make them right with you. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that as we work, we'd realize who we're working for. As we work, we're a testimony to this old dying world. And I pray, Father, you'd make us good workers. Bless the invitation. Again, Holy Spirit, speak to those that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Speak to those that maybe have been saved but have never been baptized. Speak to those who you've been talking to about joining our church. And Father, if it's your will, I pray they come this morning and make that decision. Just bless this invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.